Will the king come? And I may breathe my last in wholesome counsel to his unstayed youth.
Vex not yourself. Strive not with your breath, for all in vain comes counsel to his ear.
They say the tongues of dying men enforce attention like deep harmony. Where words are scarce, they are seldom spent in vain. For they breathe truth that breathe their words in pain. Though Richard, my life's counsel would not hear, my death's sad tale may yet undeaf his ear.
I fear it is stopped with other flattering sounds. Direct not him whose way himself will choose. 'Tis breath thou lacks, and that breath wilt thou lose.
Methinks I am a prophet new inspired, and thus expiring do foretell of him. His rash, fierce blaze of riot cannot last, for violent fires soon burn out themselves. Small showers last long, but sudden storms are short. He tires betimes that spurs too fast betimes. With eager feeding, food doth choke the feeder. Light vanity, insatiate cormorant, consuming mean soon preys upon itself. This royal throne of kings, this sceptred isle, this earth of majesty, this seat of Mars, this other Eden, this fortress built by nature for herself against infection and the hand of war. This happy breed of men. This little world. This precious stone set in a silver sea, which serves it in the office of a wall, or as a moat defensive to a house, against the envy of less happier lands. This blessed plot, this earth, this realm, this England, this nurse, this teeming womb of royal kings, feared by their breed and famous by their birth, renowned for their deeds as far from home, for Christian service and true chivalry, as is the sepulchre in stubborn jury of the world's ransom, blessed Mary's son. This land of such dear souls, this dear, dear land, dear for her reputation through the world, is now bleached out. I die pronouncing it, like to a tenement or pelting farm. England, bounded with the triumphant sea whose rocky shore beats back the envious siege of watery Neptune, is now bounded with shame, with inky blots and rotten parchment bonds. Sad England that was wont to conquer others hath made a shameful conquest of itself. Would the scandal vanish with my life? How happy then were my ensuing death.
Deal mildly with this youth. The young hot colts being raged do rage the more.
How fares our noble uncle Lancaster?
What comfort, man? How is't with aged gaunt?
Oh, how that name befits my constitution. Old Gaunt indeed. And Gaunt in being old. The pleasure that some fathers feed upon is my strict fast. I mean my children's looks. Therein fasting hast thou made me gaunt, and gaunt am I for the grave, gaunt as a grave, whose hollow womb inhabits naught but bones.
Can sick men play so nicely with their names?
No, misery makes sport to mock itself. Since thou dost seek to kill my name in me, I mock my name, great king, to flatter thee.
Should dying men flatter with those that live?
No, no. Men living flatter those that die.
Oh, thou now dying, sayest thou flatterest me.
Oh, no. Thou diest, though I the sicker be.
I am in health. I breathe. And see thee ill.
Now he that made me knows I see thee ill. Thy deathbed is no lesser than thy land, wherein thou liest in reputation sick. And thou, too careless patient as thou art, commit'st thy anointed body to the cure of those physicians that first wounded thee. A thousand flatterers sit within thy crown, and thou...
A lunatic, lean wicked fool, presuming on an aged privilege.
Death, with thy frozen admonition, make pale our cheek, chasing the royal blood with fury from his native residence. Now, by my seat's right royal majesty, wert thou not brother to great Edward's son, this tongue that runs so roundly in my head should run my head from thy unreverent shoulders.
Oh, spare me not, my brother Edward's son. Live in thy shame, but die not shame with thee. These words hereafter thy tormentors be. Convey me to my bed, then to my grave, and love they to live the love and honor.
And let them die that age and solace have, for both hast thou and both become the grave.
I do beseech your majesty, impute his words to wayward sickliness and age in him. He loves you on my life and holds you dear as Harry, Duke of Hereford, were he here.
Right. You say true. As Hereford's love, so his. As theirs, so mine. And all be as it is.
My liege. Old Gaunt commends him to your majesty.
What says he, Northumberland?
Nay, nothing. All is said. His tongue is now a stringless instrument. Words, life and all, old Lancaster hath spent.
Be York the next that must be bankrupt so. Though death be poor, it ends a mortal woe.
The ripest fruit first falls, and so doth he. His time is spent. Our pilgrimage must be. So much for that. Now for our Irish wars. We must supplant those rough, rug-headed kerns, which live like venom, where no venom else, but only they have privilege to live. And for these great affairs do ask some charge. Towards our assistance do we seize to us the plate, coin, revenues, and movables whereof our Uncle Gaunt did stand possessed.
How long shall I be patient? Ah, how long shall tender duty make me suffer wrong?
Why, uncle, what's the matter?
Oh, my liege, pardon me, if you please. If not I, please not to be pardoned, am content with all. Seek you to seize and gripe into your hands the royalties and rights of banished Hereford? Is not Gaunt dead? And does not Hereford live? Was not Gaunt just, and is not Harry true? Did not the one deserve to have an heir? Is not his heir a well-deserving son?
If you do wrongfully seize Hereford's rights, you pluck 1,000 dangers on your head. You lose 1,000 well-disposed hearts and prick my tender patience to those thoughts which honor and allegiance cannot think.
Think what you will. We seize into our hands his plate, his goods, his money, and his lands.
I'll not be by the while. My liege, farewell. What will ensue hereof, there's none can tell. But by bad courses may be understood that their events can never fall out good.
Go, Bushy, to the Earl of Wiltshire straight. Bid him repair to us to Ely House to see this business. Tomorrow next, we will for Ireland. And 'tis time, I trust. And we create, in absence of ourselves, our Uncle York, Lord Governor of England. For he is just, and always loved us well. Come on, our Queen. Tomorrow must we pass. Oh, be merry, for our time of stay is short. Sure.
Well, lords. Gaunt, Duke of Lancaster, is dead.
And living, too, for now his son is Duke.
Barely entitled, not in revenues.
Now, before God, 'tis shame such wrongs are borne in him, a royal prince, and many more of noble blood in this declining land. The king is not himself, but basely led by flatterers, and what they will inform merely in hate against any of us all, that will the king severely prosecute. Against us, our lives, our children, and our heirs.
The commons have it filled with grievous taxes. Lords, we hear this fearful tempest sing, yet seek no shelter to avoid the storm.
Not so. Even through the hollow eyes of death, I spy life peering. But I dare not say how near the tidings of our comfort is.
Nay, let us share thy thoughts as thou dost ours.
It is comforting to speak, Northumberland. We three are but thyself. And speaking so, thy words are but as thoughts. Therefore be bold.
Then thus. I have from La Porte Blanc, a bay in Brittany, received intelligence that Harry, Duke of Hereford, Reynold, Lord Cobham, that they broke from the Duke of Exeter, his brother, Archbishop late of Canterbury, Sir Thomas Erpingham, Sir John Ramsden, Sir John Norbury, Sir Robert Waterton, and Francis Quoynt, all these, well furnished by the Duke of Britain with 8 tall ships, 3,000 men of war, are making hither with all due expedience and shortly mean to touch our northern shore. Perhaps they had ere this, but that they stay the first departing of the king for Ireland. If then we shall shake off our slavish yoke, away with me in post to Ravensborough. But if you faint, as fearing to do so, stay and be secret, and myself will go.
To horse, urge thou to them that fear.
Hold out my horse, and I will first be there.